Me and turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to be looking verses 7 through 11 as we continue our study of firm foundation. One of the things that the Lord's been speaking to me about lately is that we learn a lot more in the fires of life than we do in the good times of life. In other words, it's during the trials that God does His intimate work in our lives. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Paul says, "But whatever was to my profit," and he had just finished talking about all the things that made him religious in the eyes of everybody else. In fact, if you want to look up just a little bit before that, it says, "If anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law of Pharisee, and as for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless." He says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." Father, I ask You tonight to take Your Word and just hide it in our hearts, Lord, to help it to grow and to sprout and to help us to understand You more and more every single moment of every day. Lord, Your Word is true, it's right, and everything we see in it just reminds us of how much You love us, and we're just so grateful for that. I just pray tonight, Lord, that You'll speak to each one of us, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In one of my devotionals this week, we talked a little bit about the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the seven truths that they learned in the fire. There's a number of things that I believe we learn when we're in the fire. In fact, Charles Stanley put it this way: when we make the choice to walk in Him, we must be aware that God does His most intimate work in the midst of the fire. It's not in the good times. It's not in the mountain high experiences. It's not in just going to church and in praise times. And so He does His most important work, most intimate work in the midst of the fire. In fact, Isaiah 23:10 says, "When He has tested me, I will come forth as gold." We're all reminded of that passage in the first chapter of James that just reminds us to consider it joy when we go through these trials, because we know what God is doing is refining us. And so it's in the furnace that God does His work in our lives. It's not in the good times, the easy times, the times that we just want to do what we want to do. It's when we're in the fire. So we're going to look at these seven truths that we learn in the furnace. If you recall, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced King Nebuchadnezzar and says, "Oh, King, whatever you say, the people are doing, but we don't have to do that. In fact, we're not going to do that. And if you have to throw us in the fire, then throw us in the fire. Our God will save us. But even if He doesn't, we're still not going to bow down." In that fire that day, they learned some amazing things. And we're going to take a look at some of that stuff and compare it to what Paul just said in Philippians chapter 3. First of all, seven truths we learn in the furnace. The first is, God's desire is that we trust Him there. We need to trust God. And, I think it's easy for us to trust God when we know something's going okay. It's easy to trust God when we know that, X, Y, and Z is going to happen. But it's in the trials of our life that's really difficult for us to let go and trust God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had already made their they'd already made their mind up. And I think that's a huge thing for us, because we are all going to go through trials. We, you know, all of us have different issues that come up, different things that come up. And, you know, it might be family, it might be work, it might be economics. All kinds of trials are going to come our way, period. It's just the way it's going to be, because we live in a fallen world. But when those things come, how are we going to respond? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, probably when they first heard King Nebuchadnezzar make the announcement that when the music begins to play, everybody needs to bow down and worship this idol that I've made, they had to make a choice. They had to say, we're not going to do that. Knowing that what he had said is, anyone who doesn't bow down will be cast into the furnace. You will be thrown into the fire. They said, King, if you're going to throw us in the fire, do it, but we're not going to bow down. And so he was so mad at them. What, you remember what the scripture says? He had them heat the thing up 7 times hotter than it already was. It was so hot that the guys that were going to throw them in got burned up. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, if you're going to do it, but we're not going to bow down. So it was in that place that they found out they could truly trust God. How? Because they didn't burn up. In fact, it was there that they first got to see Jesus. I mean, think about it. Sometimes it's in the toughest times of our life that we get to recognize the presence of Christ. God desires we trust Him there. The second truth is God uses suffering to help us grow spiritually. Now, you know, we could have probably come up with something different. He uses all kinds of blessings to help us. You know, that's what we would want, right? You know, Lord, we'll grow in you if you just continue to bless us and give us everything we need and everything we want. And yeah, you know, but that's not how God works. In fact, problems and adversity are used by God as a wake-up call to draw us closer to Him. It's in the times that we're just, you know, just making it easy, going, you know, smooth, everything seems to be going just right, and then what happens? Something goes wrong. Something comes up. And all of a sudden we're having to face something that we never even thought we'd have to face. Why is that? Because it's in that situation, it's in those times of our life that we not only learn we can trust Him, we also learn that He wants us to grow in the midst of it. You know, that's why God puts us into the refiner's fire. Because He wants to make us more like His Son. And so the more we go through suffering, it's simply because there's more things that we need to correct. There's more things in our life that need to be brought under His sovereignty and under His control. Rick Ferguson said it this way, I'm not sure that any true spiritual growth can really occur apart from pain and difficulties. You know, we probably all had, high spiritual times that we were on the mountaintop, and maybe it was a great praise time. Maybe it was a time where God was speaking to you through someone else or whatever. And man, we just thought this is the best. You know, we would take teenagers to camp, you know, and when we left the church heading to camp, they were like berserk, crazy people. On the way back, they were praying for each other and you know, walking with the Lord and all those kinds of things, which lasted about 2-3 weeks, and then they were back to their normal self. But, I mean, it was just at that time that they realized that there's so much more than what I'm seeing and what I'm experiencing. It's in that time of suffering that God draws us close to Him. It helps us get our eyes off of ourselves and start looking at Him. The third thing is the furnace burns off the outer and reveals what's on the inner. So we can all probably fool anybody else if we look really spiritual and act spiritual and say the right things. And you know, we've all heard those things all of our lives. You know, but that doesn't really matter. What matters is what's really inside of us. What's really in our heart. What we're really following. Are we following a set of rules? Are we following a certain code of the church? Or what? Or are we really following Jesus, our Father, and the Holy Spirit as they speak to us? Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." Now stop for a second and look at that, all things. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The fact is that every person's heart, all of our hearts, tend towards sin. They tend towards selfishness. They tend towards what we want over anything else that God might have in store for us. So God says, okay, let's go to the furnace. Let's burn off some of that and reveal what's really inside. Because it's in the furnace that we begin to see what's really inside. 2 Chronicles 32:31 says, "But when the envoys were sent by the rulers of Babylon to ask him about the miraculous sign that had occurred in the land, God left him to test him and to know everything that was in his heart." You see, when somebody stands up for God like Isaiah or Jeremiah or Nehemiah or any of those people who stand up for God, sometimes God allows there to be testing so that what they say with their mouth, is it really what's in their heart? A number of these folks stood up for God, even in the midst of the furnace. And God blessed them and used them amazingly. In fact, if you recall, as Nehemiah was helping rebuild Jerusalem, and specifically the walls around Jerusalem, they were under such attack that they had to work with one hand and hold a sword in the other. And people were trying to dissuade them and say, it's not worth it and you can't do it. But they just continued on. The furnace is the place where we see what's really inside. The fourth thing, God is always watching over you. In fact, He's never going to throw you into the furnace and walk away. He will be there with you. Feelings, how we feel on the inside, can mislead us into thinking that God is not watching and He must not care what I'm going through. Lord, where are you? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? I don't even know why we raise our voice, because He's right there with us. In fact, Romans 8:28 reminds us, and we know that in all things, the good, the bad, in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. God is always watching over us. He's never going to put us in a place of trial or in the furnace or whatever we want to call it. He's never going to put us there and then walk away, because He'll never leave us or forsake us. The next thing is, God is with you in every trial. It's not like God says, okay, I want to put you in this trial and I'm just going to see how you react in it. God goes right into the trial with you. He's right there with you. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." That means no matter what the struggle is, the trial, the furnace, whatever you want to call it, He's right there. You don't have to go looking for Him. You don't wonder why He left you, because He hasn't. In fact, He told Joshua as he was getting ready to go into the promised land and take all those millions of people into this promised land that was controlled by all kinds of other people, He said, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will never leave you or forsake you." God is with us in every trial. In fact, that's one of the greatest truths that we can remember, because no matter how bad it seems, no matter how long it lasts, no matter what we think is going to be the outcome, it doesn't really matter, because God is right there with us in the midst of it. The next thing is, He's always at work, especially in the furnace. Because it's in the furnace, as we said a while ago when Charles Stanley said, it's in the furnace that God is doing His most intimate work, right in the midst of that fire. The very trial we are facing is there because God wants to mature us in that specific area of our lives. God is saying, listen, this is a place that you're not making me Lord. This is an area in your life when you're trying to be a rebel or doing your own thing or don't think that you need me or whatever it might be. And God is saying, no, listen, I'm right here, but you need to learn that you've got to trust me in all of this. James chapter 1, I made a reference to it a while ago, verses 2 through 4 says that we are to consider it pure joy, when we face the trials of many kinds, because we know that the testing of our faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work in you so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know why we have to go through these trials and in the furnace and whatever you want to call it? You know why we have to do that? Because we're not there yet. You wonder why you continue to have to go through things? Because you're not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. But God is making me more and more and making you more and more into the likeness of His Son every time we go through these trials. Now, if we learn in the midst of these trials and we begin to trust in Him and we walk in Him, then that's great. So then there'll be a different one coming along. But it's for our good. So that we can be in Him and be used by Him. Lastly, sometimes our furnaces are self-imposed rather than God's plan. Do you ever find that in your life? Yeah, I brought this on myself. I mean, God's not even having to put me in the furnace because I already put myself in the furnace. I already messed up. I'm reaping the consequences of things that I've done in the past. Whatever it is, we have to face those sometimes. But even in that, God is still with us. And He's not going like, you're never going to make it. You're never going to learn this. He's right there with us saying, listen, submit yourself. Trust in me, walk in me, even in the struggle, because you will find that I will be there for you. Secondly, tonight is the reason for the furnace. See, apart from the furnace, if we're not going through trials, if we're not going through struggles, if we're not being tested, we become very self-centered people. That's our nature. We think everything's going great. I don't really need anything. It reminds me of the one who says, you know, I don't need anything from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Did I skip something? Sorry. Okay. Because of these surpassingly great revelations, Paul said, therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. In other words, Paul was, you know, he was erudite. He was the person that everybody looked to back in the day. And man, he was leading the onslaught against Christians. And he was there watching people be put to death because they were called Christians. You know, and all of the religious people were looking to Paul. But the fact is that he said, you know, God met me on the road to Damascus. He showed me what I really was. He changed me from the inside out. But He's allowing this thorn in my flesh, this furnace, this trial that I can't seem to get rid of. He's allowing it to be there. Why? Because I have to rely on Him instead of myself. God knows our tendency towards pride. We all tend towards that. There's no doubt about it. We always want to be held up in esteem by someone else. We always think that we accomplish something. You know, everything that we accomplish on our own, when we stand before Jesus, will burn away. Scripture calls it wood, hay, and stubble. And it will burn up. because it's not worth anything. Only the things that we have done for Him will be silver, gold and silver and precious stones. Apart from the furnace, we become self-confident. Apart from the furnace, we become sinful. We are prone to sin. We are drawn to, we were born in sin. Self is so incredibly powerful. It's why we do the things we do. Psalm 119 verse 67 says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word." Why do we go astray? Because we're selfish people. We want to do what we want to do. We tend towards sin until something gets our attention. Have you ever been through something like that? You know, you're just going along and you think everything's fine and you're doing little things here and there that don't seem to be all that bad, but all of a sudden, bam, you're in the fire. You're in the furnace. And you realize the reason you're there is because you've been selfish and doing what you want to do. In World War II, they used to have this saying, "There are no atheists in foxholes." Why did they say that? Because everybody there knew they could die at any moment. And so they became people who wanted to pray. In the midst of the struggle, the eyes got turned to the place where they needed to be. The results of the furnace. Now, I think there's an important lesson for us all here, especially for me. The results that happen in the furnace are five things that I see that are incredibly important. The first one is brokenness. You might say, what does that have to do with seeing God in the midst of the furnace? What does that have to do with it? Well, brokenness means I'm not looking for anything that I can do or anything anybody else can do for me. I'm just broken before God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says, "For our light momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all." In other words, every struggle we go through is not a big deal because we're gaining something so much more in the midst of those struggles. And it's being in His presence and realizing that He is in control and that He's got all power. And God needs to break me because if I'm not broken, I'm me. And that means I'm in control and I don't need to be in control. What good is a horse unless it's broken? Still the same animal before and after being broken. Still powerful, still could throw anybody or run off or whatever or kick somebody or jump on. Could do any of that. But when it becomes broken, it means He's not in charge anymore. The Master is in charge. Brokenness means it's not me, it's you, God. Something that comes from that then is the next thing, humility. I would dare say that pride is our greatest enemy in our walk with Christ. Because even when we see victories in our life, we tend towards thinking that it was something good about me. If we could only truly see ourselves like God sees us, it might scare us. First Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, "In the same way you who are younger, submit yourselves to the elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but He shows favor to the humble." God is looking for people who will humble themselves before Him. That means, God, You're in charge and I'm not. You have the path, Lord, I don't. You know what I ought to do? I don't know what to do. I'm not going to raise myself above anything else. I'm going to humble myself before You so that I can be used by You. It reminds me of that passage where Jesus was looking at the people that were standing before him, and there were many of them who said, "Lord, Lord, didn't we go visit the sick, and didn't we go to the prisons, and didn't we do all these things in your name?" I mean, in other words, they're saying, "We were pretty good people. We gave our money, and we went to church, and we did all of these things." And what is Jesus going to say to them? "Depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." The worst thing I can ever imagine being said to anyone: "Depart from me, for I never knew you." The third result from in the furnace is compassion. When we go through the furnace of life, we tend to care about others who are going through the same thing. It may not have bothered us at all that somebody was going through something until we start to experience the very same thing. And then we realize the hurt that they have and the struggles that they're going through. Jesus looked on the people with compassion because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Now, what do sheep without a shepherd do? They scatter. They go anywhere. They do whatever they want to do. Sounds kind of like people. If we don't have a shepherd, we just go wherever we're going to go and we do whatever we want to do. But the problem is that once we start doing that, we lose sight of the shepherd himself. And we find ourselves in a briar patch or hung up or drowning in a river or whatever else. Jesus looked on them with compassion. He looked on the people that were all there gathered around him that day as he was sharing the good news with them. They were listening, but he looked at them and saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. They needed someone in their life that could help them. And he had great compassion upon them. In fact, in another place where we came to the Mount of Olives the day before he came in, or the morning before he came into Jerusalem in the triumphant entry, it is called. And the Bible says he looked down upon the people of Jerusalem and he began to weep. And the word there literally means he began sobbing. He said, "Oh, if you can only know who I am." He had compassion upon them. Brokenness, humility, compassion. The fourth one is purity. There is always a refining process in the fire. If you know anything about refining of gold or silver or anything like that, what you do is heat it up to such a state that it becomes liquid. And in the liquid state, all the impurities come up to the top. And those impurities are scraped off, or many times if it's just in a state where it's almost liquid, you can pound on the gold and it becomes very pliable, and everything that's not pliable in it comes out. God is always in the refining process in our lives. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it." I can tell you, I played a lot of different sports growing up. I guess the sport I didn't like the most was track, because it had a lot of running in it. And I didn't really like running all the time. I did it because I was supposed to do it. And I'm glad I did it, because if I had I not done the running and then they put me into a race, I would never have made it around the track. It's in the discipline time that we see God doing something in our lives. It's not pleasant at the time. In fact, it's very painful. But later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. We just went through it a minute ago. But whatever were gains to me, Paul says, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a leader as a Pharisee. He had every notoriety that anybody would really want in that society. He said, I count them as rubbish compared to knowing Christ. Purity in the fire. And lastly, there's priority. You see, when we get into the fire, it reminds us of who He is. See, before we get into the fire, we don't necessarily call on Him. We don't necessarily run to Him for any reason. If everything's going fine, we just seem to coast along, take it easy, not worry about things. But as soon as the furnace comes along, we're reminded of who He is. Things become less important, and He becomes our focus. So let me ask you a question. Do you believe these things are true? If you believe these things are true, you know what you'll start doing? And this is hard to do this, but you'll start saying, Lord, take me through the fire. Take me through the trials. Paul says, you know, I could pray for Him to remove this thorn from my flesh. But I know if He did, I would become conceited and I would believe that I'm this, you know, I'm a very important person. Instead, He says, whatever you do, take me through the furnace, through the trial. Lord, I want to become more like You. Did Jesus have to go through the furnace? Absolutely. And He had to carry the weight of every sin of every person who's ever lived. And it will ever live. We don't know what furnaces are like. Jesus experienced the hardest one ever. And it's because of us. He did it all for us. So when the furnace comes along, we can look at it one of two ways. Oh man, here comes another struggle. I wish I didn't have to face this. Why do I have to keep facing these things? It's almost like, God, please leave me alone. I'll be okay like I am. He says, no, I love You too much to let You stay like You are. And I'm so glad He does. And at some point, we can finally say, like Paul, count it all joy. Like James says, count it all joy. Going through this for a reason. And God has a reason. And God is my reason. And I'm going to go through it. And I'm going to learn what I need to learn. And I'm going to allow God to do whatever He needs to do in my life. Because I don't want to be in control. Somebody told me a long time ago, we make terrible gods. When we want to be in control of our life, what do? Mess it up. The very first commandment, He says, you shall have no other gods before Me, including yourself. That's my little interjection there. I make a terrible god, but I have the greatest God ever. And it's in those times of struggle and pain and trial, in the midst of the furnace, I see Jesus walking around right by me, holding up my hands, allowing me to see the things in my life that need to be taken away so that I can become more and more like Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I need to be in the furnace. I need to be taken through trials. Just to remind me, every single day, the only good, real true good that can come out of this day comes from you and not from me, not from other people. It comes from you. With you, I have all things. Without you, I have nothing. You have told us again and again in your word to abide in you, to live in you, to keep our eyes on you, to walk with you, to listen to you. And we tend to not even listen to that. We get up every day and do our thing. And that doesn't fly. And so the trials come. And the furnace is heated up even hotter. But the best thing is that even in that furnace, you'll be right there with us. So that we can see you instead of ourselves. Lord, help us, I pray. Help me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.